Imagine being James and being the little brother of Jesus and growing up and knowing that you were living with the perfect child. I imagine there are times that James got frustrated with his older brother because he always did everything right. Have you ever been around somebody that always does everything right and does nothing wrong? And Jesus did everything right, and I'm sure there's times James got frustrated and he got mad. And he said to Jesus some things, I'm sure, that he later regretted. I'm sure there's times that James probably ran in his life over to Mary to tell Mary that he was just getting frustrated with the perfect child. James, this morning, as we continue through this book, sharing with us a struggle in his life that he had, and a struggle that all of us face. Because as we move into chapter 3, James is moving more from the practicality and the preaching that he had, and he's been doing more to meddling. Because we get into chapter 3, James gets personal. He has been teaching us about how faith works and how faith makes a difference in our life. And if faith is there, it should be showing by the things within our life. By we've learned by having the power to persevere when hard times come and to the ability to rejoice even when trials come our way, that we can continue to persevere. That faith listens as God speaks and puts it into practice in our life. That faith loves all people the same and treats everybody the same and shows no partiality. And last week we saw that faith acts, that faith moves, that faith makes a difference in our life through how we live. But when we get into chapter 3, he now moves from the generality of faith producing good works to now into the fact of faith in producing into our speech and what we say. So not only is he saying that faith makes a difference in what we do, but he's saying faith should make a difference in what we say and how we speak. That's where it gets personal. Because all of us struggle with what we say at times, don't we? The tongue's a beautiful thing. And God created the tongue and put it within our body, and it's a beautiful organ. With the tongue, we can taste and experience all kinds of wonderful food and cooking. And we can experience a lot of great things with our tongue. With our tongue, we can say a lot of words that can be helpful. But the tongue can also become a problem. And sometimes James wants to give us this morning some speech therapy. Because when someone has a stroke, sometimes and their speech has been affected, they have to have a speech therapist. And the speech therapist will work with them to learn to teach them how to speak all over again. And James is telling us that as believers, we need some speech therapy. Because faith needs to make a difference in our life. And he gives us some four truths that we need to remember today about the tongue. As we look in what he's saying to us, there's four things he wants us to remember regarding the tongue and the trouble that we have with it. First thing he tells us is that the tongue will often cause us trouble. Have you ever had the time where you open your mouth and as soon as you open your mouth, you put your foot in it? That happens to me a lot, you know, and the Apostle Peter struggled with that. He would often say something and blurt it out before he thought, and after he thought, you know, why did I say that? Boy, that happens to me a lot. I'll say something and afterwards I'll say, well, that was stupid. You know, that was dumb. Why didn't I think? Our tongue will often get us in trouble. And James reminds us of that as he begins and said, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because we know that those who teach will be judged more strictly, for we all stumble in many ways. And he tells us that our tongue's going to get us in trouble. And a good way to illustrate this is there is a classic movie that is, comes out, this years ago, it was made in the 80s, but it, every year at Christmas time, they show it. And it's called The Christmas Story. And if you've ever seen The Christmas Story, it's about a boy named Ralphie and his reflections of growing up in the 50s in Cleveland, Ohio. I love the story movie because it's very nostalgic. And he shares what life was like back then. But there's one scene in the movie where it's a very, very cold winter day in Cleveland. And the kids are going to school. And they're out at recess. And they're having this, what's called a dare. And they're daring each other. And kids dare people, dare things to do. And the one child dared, one friend dared his friend. He says, I heard that if you stick your tongue on a flagpole, on a cold, it will stick. And he says, nah. And he says, why dare you? And he says, well, I dare you back. I double dare you. And his friend says, why triple dog dare you, if you remember the movie? And when you're triple dog dare, if you don't do it, you look like a chicken. So he took the triple dog dare. If you remember the movie. And he stuck his tongue to the flagpole. And immediately, it stuck. His tongue got him in trouble. And while he was doing that, the bell for recess rang and ended. And the kids went back into school, if you remember, and they left him standing there. He was stuck to the flagpole, and they left him writhing in pain while they went back into the classroom. And they're all looking out the window, and the teacher's saying, what are you looking at? And they finally saw that he was stuck to the flagpole, and you remember in the movie they had to call the fire department to get him loose. So his tongue got him in trouble. Well, then there was later on in the movie where Ralphie was, and his parents were coming home from picking out the family Christmas tree. And they were picking out the tree, and they got a flat tire along the way. And so his father got out to change the tire, and his mother said to him, well, Ralphie, you know, you're getting old enough. You can help your dad change the tire now. So he went out to help him change the tire, and he was holding the lug nuts in the movie. And here he hit it, and one of the lug nuts went flying, and Ralphie let out a word. And when he let out a word, his father took a hold of him and put him in the car and told his mother, and they were furious. And when he got home, this is what he faced. And his mother put soap in his mouth, and he was washing his mouth out with soap, and his tongue again got him in trouble. Our tongues can get us in trouble, James says. Why? Because he gives us several reasons. Because we're all accountable for what we say, and he reminds us of that. He said in James 1, we shouldn't presume to be teachers because those who teach will be judged more strictly. Now, what James was talking about was in the time in which he was writing, a lot of people were aspiring to be a teacher because teachers had followings, and people would call them rabbi or teacher, and a teacher had a lot of people that followed them and listened to what they had to say. And so if a person taught, they had their words had great power and influence over people. And people wanted to have that position of influence over people, that what they say, people would listen to. It's like that old commercial when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Remember that? And that's how teachers were. And James reminding that we said, you know, you shouldn't aspire to be in that position because those who teach will be judged more strictly. But he's reminding us that we're accountable. Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, that on the day of judgment, we're all going to have to give an account for every idle word we speak. And so he reminds us that we're accountable for what we say and how we use our tongue. And so it can be a problem. He also said, we have a problem. We're accountable for what we say, but we also have a problem with what we say. Because he says, if anyone is never at fault, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Now I ask you, is there anybody in here that's perfect? James says, if we don't ever get to the point where we don't have a trouble stumbling with what we say at times, then he says we're perfect. That word perfect means mature, complete. But you know, we all struggle. And we need to admit, James says we need to admit that our tongue is and can be a problem. We all struggle at times with what we say. We all can lose our temper and let a word fly out at times, can't we? That can happen. But you know, he reminds us, and we need to acknowledge it and realize that we have a problem that we need to deal with. You know, an alcoholic, if you talk to an alcoholic who is struggling with drinking and they're addicted, or a drug addict, and you say, you know, you ask, do you have a problem with alcohol? What will they tell you? Oh, no, I don't have a problem. I'm okay. I don't have a problem. But James is reminding us, you know, if none of us ever stumble at what we say, then we're perfect. And he's reminding us, you know, that we need all, it's a problem that we all deal with. Isaiah, the great prophet, when he is called by God in chapter 6, verse 5, and he had that vision when God spoke to him and showed him his glory, and he called him to be a prophet. And after seeing that great vision of God on the throne and his glory, Isaiah cried out, "Woe is me, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips." And God took the tongs from off the altar, and he said, "See, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Isaiah realized that he had a problem with often what he said and with the speech. Because, see, we all have a problem because we can speak out of anger. We can get angry and frustrated and say something and blur it out in anger of words we later regret, because once those words are out there, they can't be taken back. Or maybe sometimes we struggle with gossip. I heard a story of these three pastors that were getting together, and they would meet together on a regular basis just to encourage each other and to pray for each other and to support each other. And one day the pastor said, "You know, so we can pray for each other better, we need to let's just share some of the struggles we have in our life so we know how to pray for each other better." So they said, "Okay." So the one pastor said, "You know," he said, "I admit that I have struggled with my wife at times." He said, "Our relationship isn't what it should be." And I said, "I wish that you'd pray for that. I really have struggled with that." And the other pastor said, "I struggle with my thoughts." He said, "I have lustful thoughts at times, and I have thoughts that I shouldn't, and I wish that you pray for me about that." And the third pastor said, "I struggle with gossip, and I just can't wait to get back into town." But you know, we can struggle with that, or we can struggle sometimes with complaining. Maybe we just complain and get critical, And we tear somebody down. Or you can say it's a sunny day, and they say, "Yeah, but there's a cloud there, and it's black." You know, and sometimes we can complain and have a problem with complaining or dishonesty. Or even now and every now and then, we may be making progress, but you're building something, and you get that hammer, and you miss the nail, and you hit your thumb, and a word comes out. You know, that's part of the human nature. It's part of the struggle that we all face. And James is reminding us that, you know, we need to realize that that's a struggle that we all deal with in life. No one's immune from it. So the tongue is a problem. It can often get us in trouble. The second thing he reminds us is that the tongue has great power. Not only is it a problem that we all deal with and struggle with, and that's what's so nice and great about James, is it's practical for all of our lives, but he said it also has great power. In verses 3 to 6, he says, "We can put a bit in a horse's mouth to make him obey us, and when we do, we can turn the whole animal. Or he can take a ship, and although they're very large, they're driven by the strong winds, but they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go," he says. He said, the same way the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts, or it can do great things. The tongue is small, but it's mighty. And James is reminding us that words have power. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, it says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." And also says in Proverbs 11:23 that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And that's what James is reminding us of, that the tongue has, our words, what we say, have great power for good or for bad. Because the tongue has the power to delight and to direct. And that's part of, as God created and put it within us, He's given us the ability to use our tongue for good, to direct and to delight. And He uses the example, again, of the ship and of the horse. When He says, we put a bit into the mouth of the horse, and the reason why you do that when you're riding the horse, if you ever ridden on a horse, so that when you're riding on it and you pull the bit, you pull the rein to the left, it makes the horse go to the left. You pull it to the right, it makes the horse go to the right. It controls, it can control the power and harness the power of that horse with that little bit in its mouth, but you can direct it. And the tongue has the power to direct, that we can use our speech, our language, our words to help people, to teach them, to guide them, to direct, to encourage, to build up, to be beneficial. Then He also uses a ship for an example. And He says the little rudder, which is small compared to the size of a big cargo ship or a big sailing vessel, or a, you see today, a big cruise line. I've never been on a cruise ship, but some of those cruise ships are huge. But they're still guided by that little rudder. And whenever the pilot turns the wheel, that little rudder guides the whole ship, and it directs it. And He uses those two as an example of how, with our speech, we can teach, encourage, build up, edify, guide, inspire, motivate. Some powerful words have been spoken that out of the tongue can use to direct and delight. Some of great words over the years during the time of the Great Revolution, whenever our country was getting ready to fight against England and our independence. Patrick Henry gave that fiery speech and said, give me liberty or give me death. And those words that inspired by Lincoln, President Lincoln, when he spoke the Gettysburg Address. And there's powerful words that have been spoken that inspire and delight, direct and delight. And we think of delighting as well, because the bit in the horse reminds us of when you ride a horse ride. I take a horseback ride, and several years ago, it's been several years ago now, Kim and I were out in Arkansas on vacation. We were at a place called Gray Lake State Park, Lake the Gray State Park, and we went horseback riding there, and we went through the woods along the lake. Remember that? And that was a delightful ride. And another time, we went for a ride down in the Smoky Mountains, and that's delightful. And that happens again. We can control with the horse's bit. Or if you've been on a cruise ship, that can be a delightful time. And James is saying our tongue can be used in a good way to direct and guide and to bring encouragement and building up of people. But he also says that the tongue has the power to destroy and to discourage. Because words have power. Not only can they build up, but words can also wound. And words can also harm. He goes on to say, likewise, the verse 5, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among all the parts of the body, and it corrupts the whole person, yet the whole course of its life is set on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. Just as the tongue can build up and encourage, we can also use our tongue, our speech, our words to destroy and to discourage. We can destroy, just as he used the example here of a fire, a great fire that is set by one small spark. The story in 1871 of the city of Chicago was destroyed by a fire, the Great Chicago Fire, which started in the barn of O'Leary, the O'Leary barn, around 8:30 p.m. on October 8th. The old story was that a cow kicked it over. Later on, that was found that wasn't true. But a spark that spread from a leaf from a lantern in her barn went spread throughout the whole city of Chicago, that at the end of that, from that small spark that led to a big fire, left 100,000 people were left homeless. 17,500 buildings were destroyed. 300 people died. And the cost to the city at that point was $400 million. That was a lot in 1871. But it started by a small spark that spread out of control and brought great damage. You know, our words can do that, James says. That the words that we say can bring harm and destruction and can destroy sometimes people's lives and reputations and never get it back. Several years ago, in Tennessee, in the Smoky Mountains where we love to go, in the fall, when it was extremely dry season and it had not had a lot of rain, and there was a no-burn ban in place, the two boys had built a campfire in the state park, in the national park, when they weren't allowed to, and the wind swept and swept the fire down over the side of that mountain, down through all into the city of Gatlinburg, near the city of Gatlinburg, and several people died. A lot of homes were destroyed, again, by a fire that got out of control. We've all seen in the news recently, in California, the wildfires that have happened there, that property and people have lost their homes through wildfires, again, that got out of control. James says, this is what our tongue can do, the destruction that it can bring. It can destroy, but it also can discourage. We're studying the book of Nehemiah right now in Sunday school, and as we learned a couple weeks ago, as they were seeking to begin to build the wall and rebuild the city wall of Jerusalem again and do the work, it wasn't long the people began to discourage them, and some of their people that didn't want the wall to be rebuilt were trying to discourage them with their words. And as the people were working together to try to build the wall up, the one guy said, oh, your wall is so weak. He said, if even a fox jumps on the top of your wall, it's going to fall down. And sometimes people can come up to us and say words that really discourage and crush our spirit, can't they? It can come from teachers that will say, or a coach will say, you'll never amount to anything. Sometimes even parents say that to their kids, you know, you'll never amount to anything. You can't ever do anything right. Has anybody ever said that to you? That wounds. And those words wound. And sometimes it takes, we may never ever get over those wounds, may be there for the rest of our life. And sometimes something can open those up again. But words can cause great harm. And that's what James is reminding us of. It can discourage. It can cause destruction. With our speech, we can teach and encourage and edify, build up and inspire. Or with our speech, we can crush the spirit. We can wound. We can tear down. We can murmur. We can complain. We can destroy lives and reputations. James says we need to remember that the tongue has power. There's an old story that the Jewish rabbis tell. And as the story goes, one day a rabbi asked his servant to go buy some food that was good for him. He said, go to the market and get me something good that it will be a good thing for me. So when the servant returned home, he presented the rabbi with, you'll never guess what he brought. He brought him a tongue. The next day, the rabbi sent the servant to the market and said, okay, go buy some food again, but bring back some bad food, something that's bad this time. And you'll never guess what the servant came back with the second day. He came back with a tongue. And the rabbi asked the servant, he said, why did you return with a tongue on both occasions? And the servant said to him, he said, well, good comes from it, and bad comes from it. With the tongue, there is good, but also, he said, when the tongue is good, there is nothing better, but when the tongue is bad, there is nothing worse. So remind us, and James reminds us, that the tongue has great power, and it's a problem that we all deal with. The third truth we learn about the tongue is the tongue cannot be tamed on its own. And this is where James is getting to the core. He says that all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea have been tamed, are being tamed, and have been tamed by man. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. It's not a good picture here of James's painting of the tongue and of our speech and the struggle we have with what we say. It's not a very good picture he's painting. It's not very flattering. But he's saying the tongue cannot be tamed on its own because he said its wild nature can't be broken by man. And he uses several examples. He said all kinds of wild animals, creatures of the sea, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea have been tamed and are tamed by man. But no one can tame the tongue. And we've all seen animals that have been tamed and domesticated. Those of us that are dog lovers know how dogs can be trained, and Carolyn works with service dogs and how they're trained to go and to serve and help others, and they're trained to do that. And they can, or a horse, a wild horse that's been broken, a wild Mustang, and it's been broken so that you can, so when someone can ride it, it's been tamed. Or if you ever been to the circus and marvel at some of the things that circus animals can do. When Kim and I went to the Ringling Brothers Circus, and to see those animals and the elephants come in, and or the lions and a lion tamer who can tame and bring those big animals under their control. And maybe it's been longer than that, but about several years ago, Kim and I went down to SeaWorld. And we're marveled at SeaWorld because we watched the show of Shamu, the orca whale, and the dolphins. And they trained those dolphins and those whales to do amazing things. They could jump up and perform, and it was awesome. Some of the shows, the power that they could train those animals to do and bring those wild animals under their authority and control. But James says the tongue can't be tamed by man. It can't be done. Chuck Swindoll, who has a way with words, had a saying, wrote something about this, and I'm going to quote him here because he can describe it a lot better than me. And this is what Chuck Swindoll says. He said, "It doesn't look anything like the brutal beast it is. Neatly hidden behind ivory palace gates, its movements are an intriguing study of coordination. It can curl itself either into a cheery whistle or manipulate a lazy afternoon yawn. With no difficulty, it can flick a husk of popcorn from between two jaw teeth or hold a temperature thermometer just so. And it is tricky. It can help you enjoy the flavor of a stick of peppermint as it switches from side to side without once getting nipped. But moments later, it can follow the directions of a trumpeter, allowing him to play Flight of the Bumblebee without a single miscue. But watch out. Let your tongue get smashed with a hammer or your toe get clobbered by a chair on that slippery creature in your mouth will suddenly play the flip side of its nature." And that is so true in our life. He said, its wild nature can't be broken by man, he says. But notice what he does say. He said, no one can tame, no man can tame the tongue. And if we read that, it sounds like, James, it's hopeless. Then why even try? If our tongue can't be bridled, if we don't have the power to control what we say, if it's a trouble that we all deal with and we can't tame it and control it ourselves, then why even try? James, it's so discouraging. But the good news is what he's saying is no man can tame the tongue. James is not saying that the tongue can't be tamed or controlled. What he's saying is that we don't have the power or the ability to tame it on our own. That's where faith comes in. That's where faith working within us, faith doing his work with its work within us, gives us the ability under the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can lead us and help us to bring our tongue and what we say and our words under control. Its nature can't be broken by man, and its deadly qualities can't be contained by man. Because he describes its qualities here. He said, the tongue is a restless evil and it's full of deadly poison. That word restless means that it doesn't ever rest. It doesn't ever take a break. It's evil. It's a constant restless supply of evil, and it's a vow of poison. He said that's what our tongue in its natural state is. Not a pretty picture. And those qualities can't be contained by us. We don't have that ability and power. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to bring our tongue under subjection. Which brings us to the fourth truth. That the tongue reveals the condition of the heart. It's a problem we all deal with. It has great power. We don't have the power to tame it ourselves. But he goes on in closing by saying that the tongue reveals the condition of our heart and for what's within. Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And this is where it gets to faith working. Because James says, if faith is active in your life and mine, if faith is working within us, faith will, our faith and our relationship with Christ, the closer we get to him, will transform our heart. And when our heart is transformed, it's going to transform what we say. And that's how faith speaks. Is that when our heart becomes more like Jesus, and when our heart is transformed from the inside, it's going to transform what comes out of our heart through our mouth. Because Jesus said, what we speak comes from our heart. And when our heart is transformed through Christ, it makes a difference. He says, an uncontrolled tongue is inconsistent with our faith, he says. Because he says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. He said, out of the same mouth come both praise and cursing. He said, my brothers, this shouldn't be. James is reminding us that when our tongue is not controlled by the Spirit, and when faith is not speaking through us, it's inconsistent with our faith. It's not what God desires. He says it this way. It's like saying, praise the Lord with one breath and then tearing somebody down in the next. Or he said, it's like coming to church and singing praise and worshiping together with each other, and then leaving church and gone home and talking about someone and said, did you see what so-and-so was wearing today? Did you see what they were doing? And leaving church and then talking about somebody else. And he said, that's inconsistent with our faith. He said, that can't be. He said, those kind of things, James said, shouldn't be that way. He said, because faith should be making a difference in our life. It should be changing us from the inside out. An uncontrolled tongue is inconsistent with our faith, but an uncontrolled tongue is also contrary to our nature. He said it's not the way our new nature is to function. It works. An uncontrolled tongue is working the way our old nature is, but he said it's inconsistent with our new nature, and he gives several reasons, several examples. In verse 11, he said, can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No, neither can salt spring produce spring water. He asked several questions. He says, and I'll ask them to you, does a fig tree produce olives? Does it? No. Does a grapevine produce figs? No, a grapevine produces grapes. And does a salt spring produce fresh water? The obvious answer to all those questions is no. So you turn it around this way. What's James actually saying? He's saying, does a godly life, a life where faith is working, a life where our heart is being transformed and becoming more like Jesus, he said, does a godly, faith-filled life produce ungodly speech? The answer to that would be what? No. Because he said it's inconsistent with our nature, our new nature, as to who we are, as to who Jesus is making us to be. If faith works, James says, if faith works, then it will show up in our speech. It will make a difference in what we say. doesn't mean that we're not going to struggle anymore. James said that. He said, if none of us are at fault, what we say, we're perfect. It doesn't mean that at times we might lose our temper and at times we might let a word fly. But he's saying it should make a difference. Our speech pattern should change. We should be seeking to build others up, not tear down. We shouldn't be complaining or critical, but we should be joyful. We shouldn't seek to discourage, but to encourage. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. As we see that an uncontrolled tongue is contrary to our nature, look what our nature is. Look what James tells, what Paul reminds us of in Ephesians chapter 4, of how we are to live our life. Chapter 4, verse 29, he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. This is our new nature. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for which you were sealed in the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ through God has forgiven you, and be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Among you, there should not be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of greed, for these are improper for God's people, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. We see that an uncontrolled tongue is inconsistent with our nature. It's contrary to who God wants us to be and the working of his faith within us. So if you want to tame the tongue, you need to start at the heart and ask the Lord to transform our heart from within. And that happens through yielding our life more and more each day to his Spirit, by letting his word get within us and renew our mind and renew us from within. That as he changes us from within, as our heart becomes more like Christ, our speech will follow. Because faith works, doesn't it? And faith transforms. For if your heart is right, then your mouth will speak right. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So James has given us some speech therapy. He's teaching us how faith is to speak within our life. And as we bring this to conclusion, some practical things I want to show you in this next one to write down. These are good suggestions for you. Because often we get into problem, as I said, because we don't think before we speak. And we say a word, and we blot out something, and if we weren't able to thought it through, we wouldn't maybe have said it. And once we say it, it's gone. Mary Lou, a good friend of ours, said, less mended. But in anger or words, we can let words fly that can do damage, that can harm and wound and destroy, because we often don't think and bring it under control. So we need to think before we speak. And here's practical guidance for you. Because before you think, speak. And here's what it means. Before you say something, think, is it true? Because there's times that people were kind of repeat something, and oftentimes prayer requests, sometimes when we share prayer requests, some people want to know the information, not because they want to pray, but because they want the information to spread it. But before you say something, is it true? Or repeating something that you know is right and accurate? Is it helpful? It may be true, but is it helpful? Because sometimes something may be true, but it may not be helpful to say it. It may not be beneficial or help somebody out. And if it's not, keep it to yourself. Third, is it inspiring? Is it something that's going to build somebody up? Is it going to encourage them? Is it going to help them? And is it necessary? There's sometimes things we say aren't necessary. We say them because we want to spread it around, make people feel better about ourselves, but it may not be necessary. And is it kind? Ask yourself those things before you speak. That's thinking before you speak. Put those things into practice. As God continues to transform our heart from within. because the tongue reveals the condition of our heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What a person says and what you say reveals the condition of your relationship with Christ. It reveals the condition of your heart and how faith is working within you. A farmer who was known for his bad language It was known so bad that parents would keep their children from him. They wouldn't even let any parents, kids get near him because his language was so bad and so vile. However, he was invited to church and he accepted Christ. And there was such a great change in his language that he remarked, he said, "I've been changed so much that even my horses don't understand me." See, when Christ comes into the heart, there's a change in our vocabulary. It changes our speech. It makes a difference. There was a lady in her church that struggled with gossip. She was really, really bad. And her pastor knew it. And pastor talked to her about it and said, "You know, you really need to deal with that. That is a sin before the Lord. And you really need to deal with it." And so finally she said, "Pastor," she said, "I'm convicted about that." She said, every time she kept saying she was going to do it and she wouldn't stop. And she kept doing it over and over again. And so finally she said, "Pastor, I'm convicted about it. I'm going to lay my tongue on the altar. God's convicted me. I'm going to lay my tongue on the altar." And the pastor said to her, "There's not an altar that big." But when we change our life and submit our life, our heart to Christ, Christ can make a difference in us. The tongue is a problem that we all face. It has great power. It can't be tamed on its own, but by the power of the Holy Spirit yielding the work within us, changing our heart from within, He can. And our tongue reveals the condition of our heart and our relationship with Christ. Faith speaks. Faith makes a difference. And James says, if faith is active in our life, not only will we persevere, not only will we learn to rejoice when the hard times come, not only will we hear God's word and put it into practice and do what He says and listen to His voice, not only will we love one another unconditionally and show no partiality, and not only will we act and put His word into practice and do what He says, but He says it'll also control what we say. It will make a difference in what we say and what we do. Faith speaks. Faith without words is dead. If we don't stumble what we say, we're perfect, but God can work within us to make us who we need to be as His faith continues to change us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word to us, which is so practical, and today deals with an issue that all of us struggle with, and that's our speech. We all struggle with what we say. We all say things that are stupid or wrong or in anger. We let words fly that we shouldn't. Sometimes we're critical. We complain. We murmur. And Lord, it's a struggle for all of us. And it's because our tongue is a wild beast that we don't have the power to control by ourselves. It can only be done through You and by Your Spirit at work within us as we yield to You and as You transform our heart from within. So, Lord, may we become more like You. May Your faith be working within us to make us like You, not only in what we do, but making us more like You in what we say. And when Jesus, You were on the cross, You didn't retaliate. You didn't, when You were spit upon and abused and said all and insulted, you didn't say nasty words back. You didn't return in anger. You said, "Father, forgive them." And Lord, that's an example, and we can only do that as You transform our heart and make us more like You. So Lord, may we be willing to yield to You, letting Your Spirit take complete control of us. Because we can't tame the tongue, only You can do it. And so, Lord, we put ourselves before You this morning, knowing that we all struggle. And that what we say, our tongue has great power to bless, to praise You, to build up but also we can tear down. So Lord, remind us of our need for you and of your Spirit's work within us to make us more like you, that as your faith transforms us each day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.